And welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
It's good to be back.
It is great to be back, yeah.
I know last week we had a great Share-a-thon week. Mm-hmm. That was last week, was it? It's all these days blur together.
I know, right? Yeah. It's like, was it last week or was it a long time ago?
So I'm just going to go ahead while I'm just going to take a moment to say thank you to all the listeners who were able to donate and did. We are so grateful because you allow us to continue to do what we're doing. And so thank you for partnering with us in that way. And if you couldn't donate or you didn't feel led to.
Yeah.
Like, even if you could and you didn't, I mean, sometimes God may have other plans for your money. Mm-hmm. That's between you and the Lord. So I'm, you know.
Yeah.
But we thank you for praying for us.
Yes.
And, you know, and we hope you'll continue to do so. More than anything, I hope that you're praying for us. But if you can financially give, you can, I mean, just because it's not Share-a-thon doesn't mean you can't do that. But, you know, there'll be, and if you miss this time, you know, another one will roll around in the fall. Mm-hmm. We do this twice a year. We don't want to take up just a ton of your time asking, you know, talking about money, but, you know, it's kind of a necessity to be able to continue to do what we're doing.
Yeah, we are a donor-supported ministry. Yeah. And I will say, you know, just as a retrospective on, you know, last week's Share-a-thon, for those of you who don't know, there's a lot of phone answering that goes on around here and taking people's donations that way. And all of us employees here at American Family Association, everybody on site anyway, we have shifts that we share. And we have our times to go into the Share-a-thon Central and pick up phones and take donations. And, I mean, almost without fail, every time I take a donation and it's all been said and done, the person takes a few moments to express their appreciation for the work of AFA and how much it means to them. And a lot of these people have been listening to AFR and supporting AFR for years, some of them for the majority of my lifetime, which is crazy to think about. But it's always really encouraging, just as an employee here, to know that the work that we're doing as an organization, as a ministry, is having some sort of impact. And look, it is having an impact. And we hear stories all the time from other people, other departments around here about initiatives that AFA is doing and how, you know, there's fruit of that. But to hear people who are sort of in the trenches out there in everyday life, who are listeners and supporters, just appreciating the radio programs, appreciating the work that AFA is doing and how it's a real blessing spiritually in their lives. Like, that's a different kind of encouragement. And I really am thankful for that. So I want to say, if any of you guys called and left a donation that way and offered that, you know, those comments, I want to say thank you for doing that, because that means a lot to us as employees, as we're in there, you know, doing our 2-hour, 3-hour shift, answering those phones. Sometimes it can be, you know, it gets a little bit boring sometimes. But hearing those comments, you know, it really makes our day. So I want to say thank you. Yeah.
And I love just getting to know the listeners that in that way. Mm-hmm. And I did get one call. I did get one call that, I did my little spiel, introduced myself, and he said, "What's your last name?" And I just automatically backtrack from that sometimes, just because, like, just naturally on my own, like on my own personal calls, I'm like, I didn't say no. And he recognized me. He said, "Are you on that Saturday program?"
What?
I'm like, "Yes, we got somebody listening."
That's great. Oh, man, I wish I had gotten some.
Nobody knows who Jordan is.
No, when I answer the phone, I say, "Thank you for calling AFA Share-a-thon. My name is Jordan." I don't say Jordan Shambly. I just leave it at Jordan.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start saying Jordan Shambly, but that's interesting. I like that.
I didn't say, you know, I usually introduce my last name.
Right.
On the phone calls. So.
Right, yeah.
But it's not like there's a ton of Cedras.
That's true.
So.
Not very many.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. I like that. And again, guys, if y'all have done that, if you've called in, or even if you just went online and left a donation, I just want to say thank you. Like, we really appreciate it. We couldn't do what we do.
Yeah.
Even this little, you know, podcast radio program, we couldn't do this without supporters like you. So thank you so much.
And I know I've said it before. We also partner
yes.
with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you listen throughout the year and you know that, and there's different people we partner with, like, you know, 8 Days of Hope or Preborn or anything like that, and you know, like, we're, because of that donation, we're able to do what we do, and we're able to help them do what they do.
Yeah.
And those are some ministries that you can also, if you're feeling led to, donate to them directly as well. Yeah. So.
Well, I will say it is quite a humbling experience. Share-a-thon. And that's my genius segue into our subject for today. I'm proud of myself for that. No, but we're going to be talking about humility today.
Yeah.
And this is something that you came up with, Cedra. I thought it was a good idea to have a conversation as well about this. Because we live in a time where this is a virtue that is celebrated when people see it. But it's not, I don't think this is a virtue that is often preached. I mean, of course, you know, you have your Christian circles and churches where, yeah, we do uphold this. But even out in our culture, humility is not something that people are told, hey, you should be humble. You kind of hear the opposite. You kind of hear, no, you should be a maverick. You should be one of these people who are, every morning you get up and you're ready to conquer the world and show it who's boss. And, you know, build yourself up in that way, like it, walk into a room and make sure people know you're there kind of attitude.
Well, I mean, and I used the term here, self-promotion.
Yeah.
Because that's what the world is. People are on social media constantly promoting themselves.
Yeah.
And even Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes, I mean, that's what we, you know, we have to kind of promote what we do here.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it will be Christ-centered and not all about us and what we're doing.
And that might be a helpful distinction, because sometimes when I think about self-promotion from a content creator standpoint, you know, we create content here. Yeah. We create stuff to, and we do promote our things. There's a difference between, like, the marketing side of that. Obviously, if you have a business, you want to tell people, hey, there's a reason why you should spend money on me, because I do a good job. You need to be, you know, self-promoting that way. But that's a lot different than what I've seen, and what the reason why I hardly can get on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, it hurts your feelings.
From even Christians. Just the a very much look and see how amazing I am.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's just this attitude of, you know, it is a self-promotion in that way. You're promoting yourself in a way to make yourself look better to other people. And social media is just rife with that.
Yeah. And then I think the problem really comes with the people, the leaderships in churches. Mm. And this is not saying that every large church has horrible leadership. There are some really good pastors leading very big churches. But then there are some, and it's not always even large churches. I mean, the ones that we see are the large churches that are posting, and they're really popular. Mm. And then you have pastors who reach celebrity status. And then I think they pretty much like feed off that.
Yeah.
And so they're leading their churches and they're getting up, and then they stop preaching the gospel.
Right.
And start preaching a form of, like, you know, the self-love and, like,
yeah.
You are the thing is, I heard a pastor say, unfortunately, I know you think, you know, in your heart, Satan is saying you are not worthy, but then Jesus said you are worthy.
Mm.
We are not worthy.
Yeah.
That is the whole point.
Yeah.
That we're not worthy, but Jesus did anyway.
Exactly.
And when you realize that I think feeds into the whole, like, not, you know, feeds into the whole, like, anti-humble rhetoric that I hear.
Yeah. I think it's a good litmus test. I mean, this is, look, the bar is on the ground if this is our bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this is our standard for, you know, whether or not someone's a false prophet. But if their message is consistently putting you yourself on the throne in place of Jesus or in place of God, then that's a false prophet. You should stop listening to them. And it doesn't take that long to detect that sort of messaging. Now, I'm not saying that the answer is that all Christians should see themselves as absolute garbage. I don't think that that's a godly attitude, because the Bible does say, hey, you do have the robe of Christ's righteousness. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his son, and you are in the royal family. You should act like that. That is still a humble posture, though, even though you're not regarding yourself as, I am just utterly, you know, I am, you know, all this
but
things.
But also realizing that without Christ,
you
would be nothing.
Yeah, so like the robe of righteousness that you wear, the whole point is it is Jesus's, not yours, you know. So I think that sometimes people can have a difficult time walking that line between, you know, we don't want to err on the side of pride. We also don't want to err on the side of just saying that, you know, all these good things that Jesus is saying about who I am now in him, we don't want to say that that's not true. But I think the key is to live like Jesus did.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing, is that he is the ultimate picture of humility. And we might be skipping ahead here, but he is the ultimate picture of humility. He left heaven, where he had been united to God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity, had been united in perfect, unbroken communion and fellowship with each other. They were happy together. And God the Son, Jesus, comes into the form of a human. He becomes a human. He becomes one of us. But beyond that, he then takes upon the sin of the entire world. So he's not just a human, just a perfect human. He goes that step further into humility by taking on sin, which God can't even look at sin. And then he dies, which is the immortal dying. That's the ultimate picture of humility right there. So if we can seek to live like him, then I think that we're on the right track.
Yeah.
If we're trying to walk that tightrope between, you know, we want to be honest about who God says we are, but we also don't want to fall into the temptation of pride. Yeah. So again, if you're listening to a preacher and something's rubbing you the wrong way, and it seems like he's putting you on a pedestal at the cost of Jesus.
Or himself. Yeah.
There's another thing.
Or any other human being, you know.
Yes. And look, there's a lot of great people out there, great people in history, but the moment we start preaching the gospel of so-and-so back in the day, or so-and-so who's living now, and stop preaching the gospel of Jesus, you know, that's when we're falling into error, I believe.
You talking about the life that Jesus lived, I mean, I can't think of a more perfect picture of humility than to be perfect. And to put himself in a human form.
Yeah.
And then to walk this earth as a human and still remain perfect.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, what's really mind-boggling to me about that, when I think about the incarnation, when you look at what the Bible actually says about Jesus, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So we sometimes we have this sort of like, I don't know what to call it, but this idea of Jesus as a baby, or Jesus as a child, as if it's like he was just he never cried, you know. He never screamed. He was never dirty. He was always a clean kid. He was always, you know, he didn't have to go through this process of learning and growing that children have to go through. And that's not the picture that the Bible presents. The Bible presents us with a Jesus who grew in wisdom. Like, that might not compute with our idea of God, you know, that he has to actually grow in wisdom, that God actually had to learn. But he wasn't just God. He was the God-man. He was perfectly God, perfectly man, 100% both at the same time. And so he had to, and so that's one of the things that highlights the humility of Jesus for me. He set aside perfect wisdom and had to grow in perfect wisdom, being led by the Holy Spirit, just as a Christian has to. So the exact same path that a Christian walks now is the exact same path that Jesus walked, because he had to go to the scriptures and have it eliminated to him by the Holy Spirit, just as we do. It was not an automatic process for him. He went through the human experience without sin. That's the only caveat. And so when we think about the humility of Jesus, it's honestly more than we can really compute. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond just, oh yeah, well, God touched dirt. You know, it's a whole lot more than that. It's one of those things that I think that, you know, we won't ever really comprehend in all of eternity.
And one part of my notes, one of the things that I think about is that God and who He is, and knowing who we are, still chooses to reach out and have a relationship with us.
Mm. Yeah.
Despite of our sin and thing, you know, He reaches out and wants that relationship. And it's not like what I would consider like the high school mean girl relationship where he's like, I'll throw the poor little people a bone and I'll talk to them so they look cool. But you can't sit with us. No, it is a real relationship based on love where He brings you into His family.
Yeah.
And saves you despite of all who you are. And, I mean, God humbles Himself in so many ways that He doesn't have to.
I mean, my goodness.
You think about it is one, but sitting here and talking about it just really, it's hits you.
Mm-hmm. We all know, I think, or at least know of, like truly narcissistic people.
Yeah.
Hopefully we aren't those people. I would hope that I'm not.
Yes. And if I have any of that in me, I hope it. Thank you. But let it be gone.
But
thank you.
we do at least have an idea of what kind of person this is, where somebody slights them, even if that person didn't mean it, or even if it's completely an imaginary, offense. Like, oh, that person's out of their life completely. Oh, they're just gone. You know, they've broken that relationship. They're out, and they don't want to have anything to do with them. And as a matter of fact, every time they get a chance to, they talk so badly about that person, because of course this person feels so thinks so highly of themselves, and that's a person with really probably doesn't have any reason to be prideful, but they are, and they're very full of themselves. If anyone in existence has a right to be that way, it's God. If anyone has a right to act as if, man, these people, they've offended me, I'm going to have nothing to do with them. Beyond that, I'm going to absolutely destroy them. It's God. He would be absolutely right to do that, to just snap his fingers, wipe everything away.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've seen even pictures of that. Like, there have been times in history. You think about the Sodom and Gomorrah. You think about
the flood.
I mean, my goodness, one of the biggest stories of that.
That's one of the stories that even non-Christians know. If you go and you look through a lot of histories of people who are not a Christian people, they all trace back and there's a story of a flood.
Yeah, something happened.
Somewhere. most civilizations have a story of a great flood.
Yeah. Yeah. But the interesting thing here that I think this paints a good picture of God's humility, even in those times of severe just judgment, it's right that He did those things, but it is very, dark and we don't like to think about it. Even in those times, there was always a witness and there was always a call to repentance.
Yeah.
There was always a window saying, hey, if here's a way out, here's a way to salvation. In Sodom and Gomorrah, you had Lot, as horrible as he was, in my opinion, he was a witness to God's grace to those people, and he gave them opportunities to turn away. Even Noah was a witness to the people around him, and the Bible doesn't explicitly say that he preached to them, but I would like to think that he may have done that. And then we have the picture of Jonah, and God was going to destroy Nineveh. He sent Jonah to go speak to them, and Jonah said no. Jonah was like, I'm not going to do that. And think about the humility of God, being such that instead of being like, all right, fine, I'll just destroy them. It's okay, Jonah, you don't have to go to them. They deserve it,
And they did.
He forces Jonah to go.
That's the thing. They did deserve it.
They did deserve it. And when Jonah reluctantly went, preached a one-sentence sermon to them, they repented. God spared them.
And then Jonah was
there's a whole lesson there.
There's a whole lesson there.
I mean, Jonah had some real pride issues. And I think that's the juxtaposition we're seeing here is God's humility in saying they deserve this punishment. This isn't a question of, you know, oh, God's just too full of himself, because that's impossible. If anyone deserves to be full of themselves, it's God. It's not a question of that. It's a question of, you know, or it's the picture between God's humility in reaching out to sinners to save them, which he doesn't have to do that, and then Jonah's pride and being like, God, why are you doing this? They deserve. And Jonah completely forgets all of his rebellion against God. And man, that's something we can all be Jonahs in a lot of ways. And I think that's the point here is we need to practice, you know, examining the character of God and trying to adopt that into our own lives.
Well, the whole Christianity and giving yourself over to Christ is a humbling thing.
Mm.
To take off oneself, which is what we're called to do. I think that's what makes me so sad to see all these churches like and pastors on TV that are no longer preaching the gospel, but, you know, preaching self-love only. And it's because you're supposed to take yourself off and let there just be Christ. I mean, you know, say Galatians 2:20, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
Yes.
You know, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm.
You humble yourself, give yourself completely over to Christ. Not just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Now you may have a family, like you're married with children and stuff, but that all belongs to Christ.
Yes.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. And Jesus himself says, if anyone's going to follow me, if anyone loves me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And, you know, he said this before he even died on the cross. So this is a picture of complete self-sacrifice. And that's what every Christian is called to do. So if we do see people out there who call themselves Christians. And look, Christians can fall into this trap. Just because you see somebody who is acting pridefully doesn't mean that they're not a Christian. They can absolutely be a Christian. But
And that goes back to, I know we've had discussions before about having to reach out to your sister and brother or brother in Christ about things. And so that's an opportunity for you to make, you know, for that to come into play, for you to reach out and talk to them about that.
Yeah, and be humble in that process as well, which is very difficult to do.
But if
you do see a Christian, you know, or a person who calls themselves a Christian, you know, behaving in such a way where they are obviously not taking up their cross, you know, and it doesn't have to be a dramatic way. Like, it doesn't have to be them, you know, just losing sleep every night, you know, doing this thing that's a good, righteous thing. It can be in small ways. You know, you take up your cross in very small ways. When you're a kid, I mean, I've got three of them, and one of them has just learned how to shout no at me. And so what's my response there, you know? I mean, with a one-year-old, that's a little bit, you know, you can't really teach them very much. But with my seven-year-old, I can. And what's my response there? Am I going to take up my cross and be like, look, I cannot react out of a place of pride, being like, I am your father. I deserve your respect. No, I'm going to teach them a different way. I'm going to teach them, God said this, and we want to teach you to obey God. We want to teach you to honor God in your lives, and this behavior is not consistent with that. And so it's an opportunity for me to practice humility, not demand my rights, but to stand up for God's rights instead, to put myself on that cross.
I'm glad you brought that kind of stuff up, because, you know, from the parenting aspect, I guess being not a parent, I didn't quite think of the humility part there, because there are a lot of parents that are like, because I said so.
Yeah, and there's times for
that. And there are times for that. Mm-hmm. But I think of one particular parent I know that was telling me how they speak to their children when they have misbehaved, and how now that they're getting older, they can sit down and be like, you have sinned against your perfect God that created you. And I'm like, that's heavy.
Yeah.
But I mean, they need to start hearing it, because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to parenting, I mean, it has to not be about me, and too often it is, and I need to repent of that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, even in these smaller things that we don't really think about, or these times that we kind of take for granted, those are opportunities for us to take up that cross and to and to really practice humility. Another way might be having a conversation with a friend that you disagree with on some very important topics.
And not being the one to make it an argument.
Yes, and not being, yes. If it's not something that's worth dying for, don't die for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't make it so that, you know, this is a personal offense to me. You know what? Stand up for what's right, but understand that, you know, it's not you who's living, it's Christ.
And I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again, mm-hmm. that when you're typing out your little response on Facebook,
yes.
maybe remember this
yes.
discussion on humility
yeah.
in your response. Mm. And, you know, even if you feel like you should respond, maybe that's a time to take it into the direct messaging and not...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Not create a public argument.
Right.
If that's not the place for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And either way, whether it's public or private, still remember that you're representing God
Absolutely.
In your response.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let's... I guess the call here is then to take up the cross and take it into every part of your life. And that's the challenge. And thank the Lord for His grace, because we're not going to do this perfectly, and we're
yeah.
certainly not going to accomplish this by the time we die or the Lord returns. So, you know, let's treasure the fact that we are wearing Christ's robe of righteousness, not our own. But while we're doing that, let's let that be a motivator for us to behave like Him. And that's the Christian life in a nutshell, I think. Well, we have about 30 seconds. Let's send people to where they can learn more about
AFA. Yeah, go to AFA.net. Everything's AFA.net. Mm-hmm. And that, or you can go to AFR.net if you're listening to the radio as
yeah.
well. But if you go to AFA.net, it'll take you to everything. The Stand, mm-hmm. which is our online blog and print magazine. I mean, just our American Family Studios. It does video content.
Yeah.
And they're putting out stuff all the time. Our resource center. Everything's AFA.net.
Absolutely. Well, guys, until next time, keep sharing truth and applying scripture.